The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Dale Wagner with the Sac Sun in Sac City. Dale, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Well, we might as well go with the big one that's out there. Your thoughts on this situation with the passing of George Floyd and the events that have transpired in the aftermath of his death, then?
Well, I think my responses are fairly traditional of what you heard most everybody else say. First of all, it's quite obvious when you see the film that he caused the person's death, whether that's third degree or manslaughter or second or first, I'll leave up to the prosecutors. But you can see why the person died, and you wonder how three other officers could stand by and not stop it. And also, you give credit to the police chief for the immediately firing of them, quite obvious. And then you move on to what's happened since his prosecution. Some people say it shouldn't have taken so long, but we, if you want a successful prosecution, you do your homework. So I wouldn't say that the county attorney was wrong for not filing charges sooner, but exactly what would be the right time, I don't know. We did have the case of a policeman murdering an Australian woman in Minnesota a couple years ago. Took 8 months to get charges filed. But I'm glad that they're filed anyway, and as quickly as they were. Then you get to the demonstrators, and the demonstration is constitutional and everything, as long as it's a peaceful demonstration. But you also know that people that are want to riot, rob, and burn join in and make everybody look bad, and then you reach the point where what good is this doing for the Ford family? And then you get to a point where Congress is going to have some hearings on this whole subject, and our hearings will have to be related to whether or not civil liberties of any Americans are being violated because of police activity, whether it's black Americans or white Americans or anybody else. We'll just have to wait and see how that goes. But I suppose we don't want Congress taking over jurisdiction of local police forces all over the country. But there are certain protocols that you expect police to follow to protect people's constitutional rights, and the extent to which they aren't followed, maybe we raise the issues of what can we do about it. But I don't know whether you pass laws on those sort of protocols or you just expect good policing. And, you know, isn't it sad that four policemen doing what they did to kill this person, that's puts a black mark on all policemen, and that's a sad situation.
Senator, I'm going to switch over to the COVID-19 pandemic, and could you update us on work that's taking place in Washington to help the rural economy out here?
Yeah. Well, the extent to which the rural economy is probably greatly helped by what we call the payroll protection plan, and that's the $350 billion that we thought would last for 90 days. It lasted about 2 or 3 weeks. And then we had to appropriate another $310 million, of which probably $150 billion hasn't been used yet, to help small business then that's what makes up the main streets of Sac City and other small towns of the United States. There's going to be a bill passed yet today that will modify when that forgivable loan can take place, because originally you had to keep your people on the payroll for at least 8 weeks. Well, that 8 weeks runs out this week. So consequently, I think we're going to extend that till the end of the year. And instead of making you use the forgivable loan at least 75% for wages, because a lot of people have costs that are bigger than employee costs, and so you're going to be able to use it for other things like rent and utilities, et cetera, et cetera. So that's one of the things that's going to help small business. Another thing is, and particularly rural areas and more oriented towards farming, but we know that Sac City relies a lot on agriculture around there. We put $24.5 billion in the CARE package for agriculture support, of which $19 billion will be put out now. And that $19 billion is going to go for low prices because of corn, for grains, let's say, for specialty crops, and for the first time for livestock. And I want to point out that 8 weeks ago, we were talking about low prices because of the pandemic. We weren't talking about any lost income to farmers because of euthanizing poultry and pigs. And so I think there's going to have to be more money put out in the next CARES package whenever that comes in 2 or 3 weeks. So I think that we're trying to help agriculture, which in turn helps small communities, but we're not going to make people whole as a result of what we're doing. And neither is the payroll protection program going to make small businesses whole, but it's going to help.
Okay. Lately, the president has been pretty adamant about his dislike for mail-in voting. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I can't dislike mail-in voting because I vote that way most of the time by myself, particularly this week since I'm in Washington. We've got a primary tomorrow and I'm not in Iowa, so I voted by mail. Now, what I'll do in November kind of depends on what's going on in November, but a lot of times, even in general elections, I vote by mail, even if I'm in Iowa, because sometimes it's hard to predict where I might be. But I agree with the president from this standpoint that it ought to be left up to the 50 states to decide how much mail-in voting they have. If they want help to the states for mail-in voting, I might be for that. I'm not saying I am for it, but that's a little bit different than federalizing all election laws. And so I basically do not want the federal government to take over federal election laws, and to a great extent, that's what the Democrats want to do. They want national laws saying how much mail-in voting you have and under what conditions.
Let's see. Over the weekend, we sent a couple of astronauts up to the space station. What do you think is the significance of this collaboration with a private entity and taking advantage of it?
Well, I think that there's been enough benefit from outer space research that can be done when you don't have to worry about gravity. And the only one I can think of is the HART Pacer, which has been around for 30 years, but it's a result of something we discovered in space that you couldn't ever discover down here. The pacemaker, I guess, is what you call it. For 30 years until 2011, you thought only the federal government can do it. So a person that, like me, that believes in limited federal government and the federal government shouldn't be doing something that you can do in the private sector, I'm thankful that we're doing it. So I would just give great praise to it. It's hard for me to realize how somebody, I guess in this case it's a guy by the name of Musk, how he can put things together and do all this research over a period of 10 years and get this job done. But it just proves that we got the talent and the drive to do it in the United States, and not everybody's going to sit back and wait for government. I guess that's got to be the last question.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Yep. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Dale, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.